Last week, we discussed folklore. Today, we get more specific. This is what we call an urban legend. Contemporary folklore passed on as a true story. Something you might have heard about mixing pop rocks and soda.
Supposedly, your stomach and your intestines burst.
Voila, still alive. Mr. Cross, please.
He's gonna explode! Somebody call 911!
They are the legends we've all heard.
Gang members drive around at night with their headlights off. And when someone goes to flash from their high beams to warn them, they kill them.
The stories we've all told.
A guy and a girl, and they're parked out in the woods.
The guy steps out, and the girl starts to hear these scratching noises. It's her dead boyfriend hung from a tree.
The tales we've all listened to.
Isn't there another story about a guy with an axe hiding in a woman's backseat?
My mom still checks the backseat before getting into a car.
But just because it never happened doesn't mean it never will.
The decapitated body was found in her car.
I knew I should have gone to NYU.
This girl, she could have been any one of us.
What if there is a lunatic on campus?
What is he gonna do next, huh? Maybe put spider eggs in Bubblicious?
The idea of an urban legend serial killer, it's a stretch.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Could it be an urban legend? Something I can help you with. Know what's going on here.
Someone out there is taking all these urban legends and making them reality.
Urban legend.
Have you heard the one about the microwave?
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week we have a very special Halloween episode recapping Urban Legends.
Yay. I love this movie. Even though this movie, can you hear me still or no? I'm trying to move this around where it makes sense.
I can hear you now because it's near your face.
Just gonna have to hold it, man. Everybody knows, at least I would hope that they know at this point, that like I don't really care for horror movies too much, except for like certain types. I'm not really into the murderous slasher type, but there is always something about urban legend that I actually really liked about it. And it wasn't just the cast. However, watching this now that I'm older, I just don't get it. I don't
really.
I don't get how this little girl can overpower all these dudes and people. Like, I don't understand how this is possible. That she's just picking these people up and moving bodies and stringing them up above cars and like I just I'm not buying it.
I think
I have a hard time.
I think it's her adrenaline. I don't know,
dude. I think it's full of shit.
I think it's just one of those scary movies that you just can't think about like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a fun...
I guess.
It's a fun horror movie from the...
98. Slayer Fest 98.
Yeah, it's just a fun horror movie from the late 90s when all of those movies were coming out. And it's obviously taken a lot of liberties from Scream. Look, I don't know. This movie is kind of like a comfort movie for me. It's easy to watch. I remember seeing it in the movie theater. I remember getting a Fangoria magazine and they had like a cover story about it. And I remember my mom putting up Halloween decorations at our house, and I was like reading it on the front porch. So I was like excited to see it. And like everybody in the cast is easy to look at. It's just a really easy movie to watch. And it's just, you can't take it seriously, you know?
No, you can't. But it was so crazy because like as I started watching, because like I haven't seen this movie in probably about a decade. And I know that when I started watching and I'm like, okay, the curly haired girl, every time I see her in things, I think of her in this movie where she's got crazy eyes. Like she plays crazy eyes really, really well. So I knew that it was her, but I just couldn't make sense of it in my head because I'm like, how? There has to be somebody else with her. There's no way she's lifting these bodies of these dudes, dude. It's not just the women. It's the guys that she's killing. Like the whole thing with Joshua Jackson and she pulls him up and strings him up and like, there's no, like, come on. This girl is carrying Joshua Jackson around. She's carrying the professor around. She's like, no way. No way. I'm just not buying it. I don't care. Somebody else is part of this. It's not just her. Like, I'm not buying it. I was not buying what they were selling, okay?
I don't care that much. I'm not invested that much. I just like it for what it is. And it's just a fun, scary movie about urban legends. And everybody loves urban legends.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a favorite urban legend?
I don't think so.
You can't think of one.
I mean, like, I can think of, like, all of the ones that they mentioned are, like, the really popular one everybody knows about. They know about the car with the flashing lights. And we know Bloody Mary in the mirror, right? I don't think I had a favorite though. No, like there's none that I would tell at ghost stories where it was just like an obvious thing. Do you? What's your favorite?
You know, one creeps me out. The one that was in the movie where she's asleep, and
she's asleep,
and she wakes up and it says, "Aren't you glad you didn't turn on the lights?"
Yeah. Okay.
Because yeah, the guy, like somebody's literally, murdered. Like somebody's literally killing somebody while they're in the room and they're not even aware of it.
That one definitely gave me the most creep for sure. Yeah. Because like it's happening and you're in the room and you're completely oblivious to it. You think your roommate's getting laid because that's usually what she's doing. When in reality, she's getting murdered and you're falling asleep with headphones on because this is your normal.
Right. Well, Tosh was a...
What is the lesson to this urban legend? Don't be a hoe.
No, don't be an asshole.
Really. Don't be a hoe.
Her roommate was so rude. She was so nasty.
She was a bitch.
No, I just really like this movie a lot. I have to tell you, I recapped this movie with my friend Leroy, who had a podcast. Mm-hmm. And we did it like a year and a 2 years ago or something like that. And I was like, should we even do this again? Like, because we talked about it. I talked about it with him. I mean, the obvious reason we're doing it is because Joshua Jackson's in it and it's related to the show. Yeah,
right. And I mean, we have a little bit of a Dawson's Creek thing in here when they get in the car.
Yeah.
And he turns the car finally turns over is I don't want to wait. Pops on and he's like, yeah. And you know, and he turns it off. And I thought that was really nice because, you know, that's when he started doing Dawson's Creek. So it was kind of perfect. Yeah, I hated him with blonde hair though. Like, bleach blonde hair though. No. Not for him.
That was such a big deal. I remember when that happened in the movie. It was like an Easter egg. And I remember cracking up. Because I remember seeing it with my ex-friend. And I remember when it happened, we were like cracking up. But what did you think of the main character, Natalie?
I thought she was really pretty. And she didn't bother me. There was a couple of scenes where she was like screaming, like when the blonde girl is getting murdered above the pool.
Yeah.
Right in that room. And she's standing there like, and I thought she looked like somebody right out of a cartoon. Like, but other than that, like, I really didn't mind her. I thought she was really pretty. Yeah. She was a very, like, real character. She wasn't, like, over the top or anything, except for that one scene. I'll never forget that one scene, the way she was standing and screaming, watching this murder go down.
You're talking about when Tara Reid dies, the blonde girl?
Yeah. And I couldn't remember her name.
Yeah, when I was watching that, I was like, why didn't she just move? Like, she's not trying to, like, save herself.
She just gave up. She was running the whole time, and she had nowhere else to go. I guess she just gave in. She's like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, please. And she's axed to death.
I know. It was so weird.
Like, I mean, I guess we can just chalk it up to fear why she was able to overpower all these people, especially the guys. But like, I don't know, dude.
Jamie, stop thinking about it because it's gonna bother
it's
you.
Bothering me.
It's not worth it.
This little girl, this skinny little girl with crazy eyes, just murdering all these people, and not one person fought back enough to overpower.
Her name's Rebecca Gayhart, and she plays Brenda.
Didn't she play another character in another movie where it was also she was kind of like the crazy one? I feel like she plays crazy really well. Or maybe I just have this character and her so imprinted in my brain that anytime I see her as an actress, I'm like, she's crazy. She's probably the killer.
Well, you know, she had like a rough like situation. Like she had like a hit and run or something and she killed somebody. And
I feel like we talked about this before. It sounds familiar. Yeah.
Something like that. And then she was like, it was labeled an accident and she ended up like kind of leaving the entertainment industry, but she's been doing things again. I feel like she's been acting again. But Rebecca Gayhart was one of those actors from my childhood. I remember she was on 90210. They make a joke about her being on the Noxzema commercial, which she was. Those are the things I enjoyed about this too. Like the director put a lot of like funny little inside jokes in the movie.
Yeah,
which were funny. But we can get into the movie in a minute because this still is a regular episode. I just figured we just do like a quick catch up and kind of, you know, what's going on with you? Anything new and exciting?
Rinse, wash, repeat.
Your side part. How's your hair system going?
Does it look like I've got little baby hairs? I don't know.
I don't remember what it looked like before. It looks longer.
I'm like still trying to bring, yeah, it's growing. I'm still trying to bring it to life, though my ends are still a little bit dry, but it's a lot healthier than it was when I first got here. So,
well, that's good.
I'm happy.
Are you doing
How about you?
My hair is fine. Thank you for asking. Are you doing anything for Halloween?
I'm not sure. I might be taking the kids out.
I don't know what if we're doing anything either. My sister and her wife usually have a Halloween party every year, and I don't know if it's worth it to go there on a weeknight. But last weekend, we had a really nice time. We went out on Sunday, and we walked into the city and just had lunch, and we went to the White Dog Cafe and had a nice brunch. I walked around, and my back was killing me, but I walked off my food. It was nice. You know what I'm gonna do? Huh? I really want to go to a Spirit Halloween and find some like fun Halloween stuff.
Okay. I don't really have much as far as Halloween here. I left all my decorations behind, but you know, that's okay.
I don't know. I just like going in there and just walking around. But I don't know where there is one around here. I might have to go into the suburbs.
You know, I don't even think I've seen a Spirit Halloween around here either.
Really?
There probably is one. It's just probably not in any of the shopping centers I've been to.
All right. Well, we're both really boring. So why don't we talk about this movie? Okay. So Urban Legend was released on September 25th, 1998, written by Silvio Horta and directed by Jamie Blanks. By the way, Jamie Blanks is active on Twitter a lot and he's super, super friendly. He's like responded back to me a couple of times when I reached out to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's very nice. Do you know what else he directed? Fun fact.
What?
That movie Valentine with David Boreanaz.
I don't know if I'm like trying to think if I don't know Valentine.
Oh, maybe you should watch it in February.
Hmm.
So the movie stars Jared Leto, Alicia Witt, Rebecca Gayhart, Michael Rosenbaum, Joshua Jackson, Tara Reid, Loretta Devine, Daniel Harris, John Neville, Natasha Gregson Wagner, and Robert Englund. So it's a pretty decent cast. And like I said, they're all very camera friendly. Like they're easy to watch. Kind of made me sad looking at Tara Reid because she's so like whacked out now.
I'll take your word for it. I have no idea.
Tara Reid, she was the one who did the radio station. She was on the radio.
No, I know. I don't mean that. I know who she is. I just mean that she's whacked out now. Like I have no.
Oh my God. She's on like on her social media. She like does these weird like clips and she's always with somebody and she's you have to see them, they're weird. She's like she just talks to the camera and she just says like one thing, and she like was singing a song, and it's weird. Like, she's very weird. I don't know if she's like on medication.
I don't know. That's her business.
So the movie starts with an opening sequence, which is kind of like what all these movies were doing at this time.
Yeah.
Because of Scream. And we have this young woman driving in this SUV down like a dark, windy road. And she puts on Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Terrible singer, by the way. Terrible singer.
Which is like a big deal for this. Like, when you think of Urban Legend, you think of that scene with her singing terribly. And she's like running out of gas, and she stops and she goes to this gas station, and it's like pouring down rain now. The attendant comes out, and you see him like pumping the gas, and he looks in the back seat, kind of like, you don't really notice it until after the fact. Like, you don't realize it.
I noticed it right away. I was like, he's looking in her back seat. Somebody's in her back seat. I knew exactly what was going on, but I thought it was weird that he ran away first, but I think he was trying to call the police. And well, then he came back out to get the girl.
That would have been smarter, you know? Yeah.
Well, because she came out and the phone was off the hook.
Well, yeah, because
he's like, he lied to her and he said that, you know, the credit card company is on the phone. Like, he was trying to get her into a safe spot. And it felt bad for the guy because the guy obviously had like a stuttering problem. So it was really hard for him to articulate why he was trying to get her out without alerting the person in the back seat. And, you know what I mean? And freaking the girl out. So like, he handled this situation, I think, to the best of his ability, but it just wasn't very good. So like, I understand why she freaked out about it. All right. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Right. So you have the scene. He's pumping gas. He looks into the backseat as it's downpouring, and she's already creeped out by this guy because he's kind of socially awkward and he stutters. He's not like, you know, the cleanest looking guy. And, he just like takes her card and he goes into the office. And then he comes back out and he's like, the credit card company's on the phone. They want to talk to you. Like, he's trying to get her out of the car and into like a safe space. But to us, he's just real shady. He's real creepy. We don't know what's happening unless you notice that he was looking in the back seat. So then, you know, she gets up, she's like, okay. And they go inside and she's ahead of him. And then he locks the door behind her. And then when she picks up the receiver, it's dead. So I'm hoping, because the receiver was off the hook, that he maybe called the police and was like, this is what's going on. I need you to get here. I'm going to try to get the girl to come into the safe area, into the shop. But we don't know that. So she comes out and he's like acting real weird and he's trying to spit out what's going on. And she just kind of freaks out, can't get through the front door because he locked it. So she like, what, breaks the window and like,
he like
jumps out the window.
Yeah, she mazes him, and then she throws a rotary telephone through the glass door, which would never have happened. That would have never broken like that.
No.
And then she like gets out and she runs back to her car, trying to like turn the alarm on or open the door. She's like freaking out.
Like, I understand why she would be freaking out, but I feel like I'd be asking questions while trying to like figure out. Like, I get it, but I feel like I'd be the type to pepper some questions first. Like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to do this? And see if I can get an answer. But he can't spit it out until after she's freaking out in the vehicle and taken off. And he finally gets to the middle of the street and he's like, there's someone in your back seat.
That was really
so frustrating.
That was a really good impersonation of him.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you liked it.
There's someone in the back. Yeah, he like stutters it out.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the first actual sentence he gets out without that much stutter. The only time he stutters, I feel like, is it's when he says back seat. He like spaces between the back seat instead of back seat, like the way we say it. He's like, there's someone in the back seat. But it was like the first full sentence he was able to get out without stuttering. It just took him that long to get there, and by that point it was already too late. She's already gone.
Yeah, she's already in the car driving away crying. And the director did this really fun effect where, like, I guess she's like driving past like street lamps or whatever, and like as every time she drives by another one, you start to see her in the back seat, and you see the axe, and then she sort of catches it in the rearview mirror, and then she gets her head chopped off. But I was like, where did the car stop? The car would have like, it just Did it just keep going?
I have questions about this entire scene, okay? First of all, I never understood the whole murder while you're on the road thing. That sounds dangerous.
She would have gotten hurt.
They all would have gotten hurt. Like, I don't know how this murderer hasn't gone flying out the windshield, because once you lop the head off the driver, where do you think the car is going to go?
Well, probably. She does. She does at the end.
Well, yeah, we finally get to see her go through. So she's obviously really lucky this first time that she's doing this, when she lops the head off of this person, this girl. And that's the other thing. So we don't actually see the head come off, right? So we see her swing inside the car, and then we get the side pan of like the side of the car, and it's the axe going through the window, and it's all bloody. And I'm like, how? If she hit the person's neck, wouldn't that be in the back of the seat, not out the side of the window? Like, the logistics don't make any sense to what just happened. Like, you're saying that when she swung that, it went through her neck and right out the side of the window? Then it wouldn't do that. Like, it was literally like somebody just sat inside the car, took the axe, and went right through the window itself and not actually hit a person. Because there's no way.
You know what always reminded me of? It always looked to me like they just took the axe and sort of just like...
stuck it through the window to make it look like something happened?
No, like
it was like dangly.
Like it never looked like they sort of like whacked her with the axe. It always just sort of looked like they just like used the blunt part of the axe and just like hit her and like decapitated her. But I mean, we don't even know that she was decapitated until they say it. But yeah, yeah. It's you just see the bloody axe break through the driver's side window. Yeah, there's a lot of like weird issues with it, but like, Jamie, honest to God, it's a fucking horror movie. Stop. Like, you're ruining it. You're ruining it for yourself.
This is why I have a hard time watching these type of horror movies. At least with paranormal ones, I can chalk those up to like, oh, well, it's paranormal. You know, the weird things aren't supposed to add up. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be like that. But when we're talking about serial killers, like where it's supposed to be more realistic and make sense, these movies don't make sense. And that's where I have a hard time with it. You know what I mean? So to me, I'm too busy spending my time picking it out and I can't enjoy it. Not really. You know what I mean? So like, if you're going to do it correctly. That way I'm at least scared. Right now I'm just picking apart your movie. Like, because I'm scratching my head going, that doesn't make any sense. It takes away from what they're trying to do, in my opinion. At least for me. It takes away from what they're trying to do to the movie. Because instead of me being like, you know, scared like they're intended, I'm sitting here scratching my head going, but what?
God, I can't wait for you to watch Chopping Mall.
I added that to Tubi or wherever that was supposed to be streaming.
You're gonna have so many questions.
I'll probably, dude. I'm gonna come to you afterwards with a report and be like, Steven, we gotta talk about this because I'm confused.
We should do like a special episode on Patreon of it once you watch it. I love that movie so much.
Well, I'll watch it then.
I love it. All right. So the main setting of the movie takes place at Pendleton University, which is this fictional college. And it's like this big old Gothic university. And our crew is like gathered in this like coffee house with couches with big backs to them, like leather couches. I was like, wow. I always wanted to go to a coffee house like that.
Right. It looks really comfortable. Very cozy.
Yeah. And very hopping and happening. You know, everybody's getting their coffee at this coffee shop. And we meet Natalie and Brenda. And we also meet Parker. And I believe Damon comes in later
I think Damon comes in later, but I don't think he shows up at the coffee house. I think he shows up at the next scene, wherever they are.
Oh, right. Yeah. You're right. We meet Paul, Jared Leto's character. So they're all like sitting around talking about this 25-year anniversary of this thing that happened at Pendleton in Stanley Hall.
Yeah.
And somebody died or...
It was a bunch of people that died. I think it was like a mass murder or something. It wasn't just one person. It was like a bunch because it was enough for them to shoot. They shut the whole building down. They condemned it. So
yeah, that's true.
Whatever happened there, it was a lot of people that died because there was only one survivor, remember? And it just so happened to be the dean. Was it either the dean or the professor? I don't remember.
I think it was both of them. I think it was Dean and Professor Wexler.
It was Wexler. It was Wexler, because that's what was on the newspaper. It was Wexler. He was the sole survivor of that whole incident. Yeah. So everybody died but him. So it was a lot of people that died. They closed down Stanley Hall. It's just an abandoned building on campus. But we don't actually know exactly what happened. There's just a bunch of people died. There's a lot of murder.
Yeah. Paul walks in, who's played by Jared Leto. He walks in, he's like correcting Parker about the story. And we see that they like don't really like each other. It's funny. And Brenda has like a total crush on him.
Yeah. She's like crushing hardcore on this dude.
Oh, it's called the Stanley Hall Massacre.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So Parker doesn't like Paul. So he's like, if there's ever an E. coli break, I want you to buy the biggest cheeseburger on me. And he takes his $5 bill and he's like, thanks, I will. And Brenda goes, bye, Paul. And then Parker goes, bye, Paul. I always thought that was funny.
I'm just making fun of her.
Yeah. Because they're like, why do you like this douchebag? All he cares about is himself and his stories. But Parker's kind of the asshole.
Parker's definitely the asshole, especially how he acts later when he's drunk at the party towards the end of the movie before he dies. Like, great. Dude, can we talk about the dog? Yeah. I was really upset about the whole dog in the microwave thing. That poor Westy. Like,
I know.
Who does that? Who does that? I was like, please tell me that wasn't the actual dog. Why did she do that? She is crazy.
I know. I said she hates animals. She like killed it. She exploded a dog in a microwave.
Take it out on an innocent animal, dude. I had problems with that scene, dude. I had so many problems with that scene.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what urban legend she was like getting at when she killed him with the pop rocks and the cleaner or whatever the hell she was siphoning down his throat.
Because it was Drano, because she was using the pop rocks and soda thing, but she
used
Drano instead.
But he wasn't even involved in the pop rocks and soda. It was the teacher. And
I know he was just she just they just did it. They were like, this is how I'm gonna kill you.
After I killed your poor innocent dog.
I know. And then his girlfriend. So then we get this scene where we meet Damon, who is played by Joshua Jackson. So
I'm sorry, I know before we get to the Damon thing, do you understand, did she ever actually explain, like, I understand why she went after our main female character, I get that, but why all these other fools? Why all these other people? Because they were friends with her?
I think so, yeah. I think she was just doing it just to be a nasty killer. I don't know.
All right, sorry, as you were saying,
she was exacting revenge by killing all of Natalie's friends, but they were her friends too. So I don't know.
Right. Or maybe she just made friends with them because they were Natalie's friend.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because she says at one point, Brenda says at one point, the story about the massacre is half the reason why she transferred to Pendleton. And I was like, oh, that's a funny line. Because the other half is because she wants to kill Natalie.
Right. But wouldn't her drive be all Natalie and then the massacre just a bonus?
Yeah. So Natalie and Brenda drags Natalie to the Stanley Hall and she wants to do Bloody Mary. So this part I didn't understand either, because they're not in front of a mirror. They're in front of a door with like a hole in it and they say Bloody Mary 5 times.
Yeah. And isn't it 3 times?
Yeah. I thought it was 3 times and you're supposed to be in front of a mirror and you just like spin around or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Something like that.
But this is their new urban legend. I don't know. So they start to hear screaming from inside the Stanley Hall. And they start to leave. And all of a sudden, Damon pops out, played by Joshua Jackson. And he, like, scares the shit out of them.
Damon was our first one murdered. And honestly, I felt so bad for Josh. I like they took Joshua Jackson out real quick.
I like that you couldn't tell that it was Joshua Jackson, because he was playing such an asshole. And
he was.
Like, yeah, like when he was trying to, so Natalie starts to get upset because Paul writes this story about the girl who died, who was decapitated in the car. We find out later that it's Natalie's friend, Michelle, and they knew each other from high school, but we don't know the why yet, like how they knew each other. They were just cheerleading co-captains of the cheerleading squad or something. and you hear like a voicemail from her mom or whatever. And she's like, I heard about Michelle. Like, if you want to call or talk, like, you know, call me. So Damon comes to her dorm And he's being all like sweet. He's like, do you want to go to the frat house with me? They're gonna pierce the dog's ear or something, and or that her their nose. And she's like, but it's a dog. Frankly, Parker does not deserve that dog, because it sounds like he tortured it.
Yeah, but this dog also didn't deserve to be nuked in the microwave.
No, I'm not saying that either. I just feel like the dog didn't deserve the life it had.
No, the poor dog. I know, and then they were getting him drunk. Like, I got issues with people who get their animals drunk on purpose.
Yeah, it was very weird. So he's like, you want to go for a drive and like go talk somewhere? This is the other thing. Everybody's asking Natalie if she wants to go somewhere to talk. It's so funny. So they go off and they're like sitting, they're parked in like the woods of all places. And he's
like a makeout point.
Yeah, it was. It kind of felt like that. And he's like saying to her, like, I understand what you're going through. My girlfriend died. And then he starts like, and she's like, really? I'm so sorry. And then he starts to kind of like playing it up a little bit too much. And she starts to realize that he's just being an asshole.
And he's just trying to get in her pants.
Yeah. And so she finally figures it out and he gets annoyed and he's like, I'm going to go take a piss. So he's like out in the woods. That was the other thing. In the scene with the woods where he's outside of the car, you hear all this loud screeching. And I was like, was that a bird or like an animal?
I don't even know. I didn't even notice it. I was just wondering how they found them. How did she find them? She was like hiding in the back of the car. Like, I don't get it.
No, she was probably following them.
Stalker bitch.
That's what she does. She's a killer. So he's like, he gets a noose wrapped around his neck and he starts making all this noise. And Natalie thinks he's like jerking off in the background and she's like laughing in the car. I was like, how can you hear that? So then the killer like pops up in front of the car, right? While she's in the driver's seat, or she's in the front seat, and she starts to like roll up the window and
he walks around the side to the back.
Right. She latches the rope on there.
Yeah, we lost visual at one point. Yeah, she latches the rope on the bottom of the car, and then next thing you know, she's on top of the car with a body. With his body, which he's not even dead yet, right? He's just knocked out, probably. He's not even dead yet. And she nooses him up and, like, strings him up. No, so she doesn't knot him on the car yet. She's got to get him on the thing and the hook thrown over and then knot it up so that she can hoist him up a little bit so that his feet or his toes are barely touching the roof. And all you hear him is he's choking out, don't start the car or don't drive or something, right? But not like she can hear. She's freaking out. And then, so when she finally gets the car started and like pulls forward, you know, the rope that's tied to it starts going with it, which pulls him up into the tree where he chokes. I don't understand how she lifted this man on top of a damn car.
Yeah. Brenda's just really strong.
Oh, she's freakishly strong. She's like a man.
She looks tiny and petite, but she's very, very strong. Okay. That explains it.
I'm not buying it.
So yeah,
she sold her soul to the devil for inhuman strength.
It's all that anger she has from Natalie killing her boy and Michelle killing her boyfriend by accident. We forgot to mention the scene that they show before Damon gets murdered. They're in Wexler's class and he's talking about urban legends and he wants one of them to come up and do the Pop Rocks thing.
Right.
And Brenda makes fun of him because his alarm goes off on his watch. And he's like, get up here now and do this urban legend, you bitch. And he's like, have you ever had Pop Rocks? And she's like, yeah. And then he goes, eat some. And then she eats like the whole bag. And then he hands her a can of Pepsi. And she's like, uh-uh. No, no way. And he's like, why? And he goes, because Mikey died. And he's like, you mean Mikey? And he like puts a picture up of the actual kid Mikey from the Life cereal.
And Mikey, he likes it.
Yeah. And he's like, he's alive and well, living as an ad agency executive or something. So Damon raises his hand. He's like, I'll do it. I'll take a chance and do this.
Yeah. So I'll accept the challenge.
Yeah, I'll accept the challenge. So he like eats the Pop Rocks and then like downs the whole soda and he's like, see, nothing's wrong. And then all of a sudden he starts to pretend like, or he starts coughing and he's like, choking, and then all of a sudden he's on the ground and he's like coughing up soda and it gets all in his eyeball. Did you notice that?
I did. And Joshua Jackson played it off real well when he opened his eyes and pretended nothing wrong. I'm like, you know, that's probably got to burn a little bit,
right?
He's real good. he's really good.
So they're like freaking out, and Parker's like, somebody call 911, and he's like freaking out. And then yeah, he like opens his eye and he's laughing, and Brenda's like pissed off, and everybody's clapping and laughing at him. So yeah, he kind of deserved to die just for that joke.
He's a class clown, dude. Let him have his class clownage. Nobody deserves to die unless they committed the murder first.
Well, then he dies in the next scene by Natalie starting the car, because she hears the screeching of his feet.
Sneakers.
on top of the
tips of his toes, just
yeah,
along the dented hood of the. And that was the other thing too, like, so they were walking across this hood, or she's walking across this hood, and it's just putting these huge dents in the hood of the car. And yeah, I'm like, what is she, like 300 pounds? I'm telling you, things just aren't. I mean, maybe because she was, apparently she's manhandling and carrying Joshua Jackson, so maybe their combined weight. I don't know, bro. I don't know, maybe. Dude. I don't know.
So she starts the car, and then all of a sudden, he gets strangled. He gets hanged. He gets killed. And when the killer tries to, like, get her again, I don't know. The killer tries to attack her again, and she reverses, and he comes flying down on top of the dashboard in the windshield. Yeah, breaks. So she freaks out, and she goes to find Reese, who is like the college, like the only college like security guard, like the only one that works there, who's played by Loretta Devine, who she is really good in this role, but it's just funny.
Oh yeah, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
If the murder was successful in getting. And killing her in the beginning, do you think she would have gone through and killed everybody else, or do you think her job would have been done?
No, I think her whole point was to kill the friends and then kill her.
Yeah.
Because.
But what if she had that opportunity to kill her? Like, what if she didn't fight back?
Well, because she's a serial killer and she's psychotic, so she's planning the whole thing out. She wants her to suffer and get all confused because all of her friends.
I know that. I understand that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if this girl did not fight back, if she didn't get in the vehicle, or then, you know, gets stuck.
Oh, you mean if she just off, like killed her?
Yeah, if she like had the opportunity to kill her, do you think she would have taken it, or do you think she would have found a way to work out so that she could get away, so that she could continue this game?
I think she would do that. Yeah, I don't think she would have just killed her the way like right off. I think she would have just kept, you know,
made sure there was a way for her to escape. Yeah. Okay.
So we also have this character, Tosh, played by Daniel Harris, who was in the Halloween films as a little kid. And she plays this like goth girl, and she's Natalie's roommate. And she's a massive fucking cunt. Like, she's such an asshole. And she is like always on America Online, because every time Natalie comes home, she wants to use the phone and she can't because the internet dial-up's on. And she's like, Tosh, can I, like, she's afraid to ask her. She's like, this is my phone too. Meanwhile, she's probably on it like all day long.
Right. This is my phone line too.
And she smokes in their room. I know it was like a different time, but she's like smoking in their room. And she like paints half of the room black, and like it's all gothed out. Meanwhile, Natalie's room, other side of the room is like.
She made goth look super freaking scary. That's all I gotta say. She made goth look so bad.
But I think that's what people.
They're not all that scary.
That's what I mean. I think that's what they're trying to do. Like, goth is terrifying.
They're not all angry, okay? Not like that.
She was such an asshole. So like she walks in and she turns the light on at one point, and she's like, turn the light off, because she's getting fucked from behind.
Yeah.
By some like creepo. Ugh.
This is another goth kid.
Yeah. And she's like, sorry. So then she puts her earphones on. Like, this is Natalie's life. She puts her earphones on and goes to bed. I would be so uncomfortable if that's what I had to live with. I'd be like, I can't live here. Like, you're just.
Yeah, I would have filed a complaint. Like, if I can't talk to this person and they can't respect, you know what I mean? Or we can't come to like some kind of agreement where if you're going to have somebody over, you notify me so I can find myself something to do or whatever. Like, if this is how this is going to be, I would have filed a complaint with whoever.
And she's just so possessive over everything. It's just annoying. So, like,
well, clearly she doesn't like her. Like, they don't like each other. So obviously.
Yeah. But Natalie's just so like, whatever, like, you're just a nasty bitch. But the night she comes in, like, so Tasha's like talking to somebody online and they're like, are you in the lithium? Because Natalie gives her lithium prescription. Yeah. And like, I don't even know what lithium does. Does it just like mellow you out? I don't even know.
Let's look at it.
Let's look at it.
Mania, that is part of bipolar disorder. She's manic depressive illness.
Oh, okay.
Oh, things make so much more sense now.
I know. Yeah, it
does. Like lithium from Evanescence. Okay, I get it. Oh. She literally sings about lithium. I'm like batteries.
I know. Yeah.
Lithium ion batteries? No, not like batteries.
So Tosh is like talking to this person and she's like, where are you? And they're like, in your room or something. And the killer just pops out of nowhere and starts like strangling Tosh on the bed. And Natalie's like walking back to her dorm and somebody else in the dorm is like, sounds like Elvira is raising hell again. And she's like, thanks for letting me know. Thanks for the heads up. So she's been warned so many times, don't turn the light on, because like she's fucking somebody constantly. And Natalie comes in the room and she goes to turn the light off and she's like, oh, not gonna do that. Not gonna get yelled at. Yeah, yeah, she's like, sorry, I'm not looking. And she goes and she like gets ready for bed and she puts her earphones on. And Tosh is like getting murdered in the bed. And I was like, I don't care, because she was so rude to Natalie every single time she walked into their shared room. Like, you shouldn't be rude. Like, you should not have been rude.
Probably put a sock on the handle or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know what? If they had like an agreement, mm-hmm. and they knew like if she was having a guest over and she was like getting banged all night, this is what I'm gonna do. You know, she didn't have that with her. She just said, like, don't turn the light on. If Natalie turned the light on and saw her being killed, she would have saved her life. But Tosh was just fucking selfish. And
imagine, you think the whole thing would have been, like, over? You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're busted, you know? I don't know. I don't know how that would go. Now, she probably would have ran out of the room screaming her head off. And then would have given the killer enough time to finish the job and get out.
Exactly.
That's what would have happened. Well, I don't know if she would have stayed alive or not, but at least she would have known and not had to wait the next morning as she's got a puddle of blood all over the place.
Yeah. So they do this thing where like she just goes to sleep, she falls asleep, and she wakes up and it's sunny in the room again. And she goes over and she sees Tosh is like still in bed, but she's not moving. And she moves the blankets and she's just laying there. It's not even really scary, but her wrists are slit, so it looks like she committed suicide. So now they show Natalie like backing up, and all of a sudden they see on the back of the wall written, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the lights? And when she turns around and sees it, she freaks out, and then like everybody comes and she takes Tosh, but they sort of explain it off that Tosh was suicidal, and that was an elaborate suicide note.
So she had she slit her wrists, right? The killer slit her wrists.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets me though is when they do the autopsy report, they would find that she was choked out first.
I know.
So suicide wouldn't stand. It looks like suicide until they do the autopsy, and they're like, oh well, she has some bruising around her neck. She was obviously killed, but they never touched back on that. So
Jamie, I can't stand you.
I can't with these movies, dude. I just, this is what happens when
you're
watch
so ridiculous movies. It's just stupid movie.
Shit, man.
Another thing we forgot to mention was that after Damon dies, Natalie runs back she's like runs back screaming to campus, and she finds Reese, who thinks she's Jackie Brown, and she's like, somebody killed him, somebody killed him. So then Reese takes her back to where they were, and there's no car, there's no dead body, and she thinks having one beer fucked her up because she finds one beer can on the ground. First of all, she could have been like, that's not even mine. They just sort of like disregard everything that's happening.
It's bizarre to me. It's so bizarre. Like, this girl cleans up so quick. Where's the broken glass?
Where did she put Damon?
In the trunk of the car. And then she takes him to, she takes all the bodies to fucking, to Stanley Hall.
Oh, that's where she's hiding
the bodies. They're all in Stanley Hall. I just don't know what she did with his vehicle.
She threw it off a bridge into a lake.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God. So now, like, Natalie's friend just died from high school. Her roommate just died. She's like, her friend Damon's missing because she watched him be like killed and nobody believes her. That's the other thing. They're all like, Damon's a practical joker. It was a mannequin. Parker's like, it was a mannequin. He does this joke all the time. And she's like, it wasn't a mannequin.
Oh, really? He pretends he's dead?
No, it wasn't a mannequin.
Whatever, dude. It was whatever.
And they're like, he's at a bachelor party in the mountains. And she tries to call and find out if he's there. And they're like, I cannot give you that information. So she just hangs up the phone.
I can't confirm if it was him or not. I mean, I can tell him to call you, but he might not do it.
Because he's not here, because he's dead.
Because he's dead, yeah. Some other person did it. I don't know.
So she tells Paul, because Paul finds out that she knew Michelle, the girl who was killed in the car, who's decapitated. Right. I hate the word decapitated. It's so gross.
Beheaded.
Anything dealing with that grosses me out. It's so creepy to me that somebody would do that. Or like
beheaded.
It's so gross. It creeps me out.
Beheaded.
Dude, it reminds me of Aladdin. Do you ever, you know Aladdin, like the cartoon, the Disney character cartoon, not the live action? Yeah. And Jafar has I don't remember who he's talking to. He might have been talking to Iago. Where's Aladdin? He's about to be beheaded. That's what I think of when I hear the word beheaded. I think of Jafar.
I don't remember that.
It might have been not the first one. It could have been the second movie. I don't really remember. It was probably the second one.
If you're into true crime and you want to hear some really disgusting stuff about like beheadings and stuff like that, listen to the story of the real Scream case and what Scream was based on. It is very disturbing. It's so gross.
Disturbia!
Oh, so Paul finds out that Natalie was friends with Michelle, the girl who died, and he wants to get like information from her, but she's like so distraught. She's like, I don't want to talk about this because like you're just like using this as a ploy to like, you know, what's the word that she used? Like he's doing it because like all the papers that had her face on them, her friend's face on them, like exploiting it. She's like, he's like exploiting her death. And she finally sits down and talks to him and he's like, she's like, you think I'm crazy. You think I'm lying. And he's like, no, I just think that maybe Damon's at a bachelor party. Maybe the guest attendant killed Michelle. Maybe Tosh did commit suicide. These are all logical explanations, you know? And she's like, that's not it. I watched him die. Like nobody believes her.
Poor girl's getting gaslit.
Yeah, exactly. So somehow they think this has something to do with the Stanley Hall massacre. So they go to talk. Oh no, don't they like run into the janitor and he's like talk to Wexler and yeah. They go break into his office because he's not there. And then they find this like secret room in the back and it has like the axe in there and like the jacket and stuff. Why would he have the jacket? And they're
hiding. I don't know, but now we know where the girl's getting her shit.
And then, yeah, like it should. Probably, right? So Wexler like catches them and he tries to get them suspended or something, but the dean just says like you're off the paper to Paul, and he tells Natalie that she has like a sordid past with the law because of what happened, and sort of like kind of, you know, kind of like blackmailing them a little bit. I don't know, he's the dean. there's another scene where we see Brenda swimming and Natalie is up above watching in this big like room that's like glass. It's all surrounded by glass. And she's swimming and all of a sudden this person walks in a parka. Like, because it looks like the killer's parka. And she's freaking out because Brenda can't hear her. And the door gets jammed somehow. She can't like get out to like warn her. So she takes a chair and she breaks it through the glass window. And the girl takes her hood down and she's just like another swimmer. And Brenda's like, Natalie, like, what did you do that for?
Everybody has this stupid hoodie, dude. Everybody's got this parka, this heavy coat.
It's so stupid.
Everybody's got the same jacket, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta look it up and see like why they chose that as like the killer's costume, you know?
You know what I also thought was really weird about the scene? So this girl walks into the pool area, right? And when you first walk into a pool area, what do you feel? Hot, humidity, right? This chick walks the entire length of the pool completely geared up in this coat. She didn't even pull the hood back. Like when I first walk into this pool area, the first thing I'm doing is while walking, taking off this hoodie. Like I'm taking off this jacket. This girl doesn't touch the hood. She's got the hood up. She's got it zipped up real tight. She's like completely covered in shit. And she just walks all the way at the other end of the pool before she like takes her hood. I don't know. I'm just like, come on, guys.
Jamie, did you like this movie?
I know. I like the movie. I just don't understand the movie. I just have a lot of questions because shit isn't adding up. Okay. It's not adding up. I thought this is what we're here for.
No, I know. It's fine. You don't have to like it. I think it's funny.
No, I liked it. I actually started watching the second one because it came on right after the first one.
Oh, really?
On Tubi, it just auto played the second one and I started watching it, but it was getting late. So I had to handle some stuff.
Yeah, I like the second one.
I didn't get too far in it, but it's got the same, the cop lady.
You know who else is in it? You're not going to remember. The girl who played Melanie, Pacey's like rich girlfriend from Dawson's Creek, Jennifer.
Yeah, yeah. Wilson. She's in like Once Upon a Time or whatever and some other stuff. She was in House. I noticed that. I saw her too. There, it's like on a movie set or whatever.
Yeah. It's all about like making horror movies. So after Natalie's like freak out at the pool, she tells Brenda about everything that happened and she tells her about Michelle and how she was friends with her. And how they, like, killed somebody by mistake by, like, doing that headlight thing. And she has, like, guilt because she told Michelle not to do it. And she's like, I just wish that I could have, like, done something to stop her. But apparently Michelle was just a nasty bitch and she really didn't care. She was just like, oh, well, they died.
Yeah, yeah.
So we find out later the truth. So the dean decides to go away for the weekend. No. This is when the dean gets killed in the parking garage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's an interesting way for him to die, too. When he actually died.
It was silly.
Dude, when he fell on the pikes from the tire thing from the parking garage, I was like, oh, literally that was my response. That sucks.
I feel like he too could have tried to save himself, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets killed on like the spikes in the parking garage, and then she runs him over with the car.
And it drives me a little bit crazy. Like she runs this dude over, and then she still has time to like clean up the mess. And parking garages, do they or do they not have cameras?
Oh my god!
And she's got to clean up this whole mess. Like it's bad enough his blood is everywhere. And then you run him over, so now his guts and stuff is just everywhere, and then you still had to clean it up? Like, he was still intact, I think, when we saw him. We see his body for, like, a second, and Stanley Hall, towards the end of the movie, when everything's really starting to go down, and he looked like he was kind of intact, so, I don't know. I digress. I'm calling you out, guys. I'm calling you out. Inconsistency, though. So, anyways.
Oh, so now
they're at the party now, not right?
Well, before that, Paul decides that Wexler, being the sole survivor of the Stanley Massacre, is the one who's doing all the... Yeah, because he's, like, into urban legends. Because they'd, like, deduce that this is all urban legends. And, like, They're like, yeah. And well, Natalie decides that. And they're like, Natalie, you're an idiot. Like, nobody's killing people due to urban legends. And she's like, no, somebody's killing all of our friends. Like, you're next. And it's Wexler. So
who else would it be?
So yeah, Parker has the party at the frat. So Paul tries to get him to stop because Natalie's like freaking out. Brenda finds the two of them kissing because Brenda likes Paul, and Brenda like freaks out and leaves. So that's like the last we see of Brenda until like a little bit towards the end. So Brenda's like gone.
She storms off after she gives the beer over to Natalie, and then she goes outside and sits on the front porch of the house, the frat house, and cries. And that's the last we see of her for a bit.
Right.
I'm crying because she took my first boyfriend, and now she's taking my non-existent boyfriend who clearly isn't into me, but it's fine.
I know. He does not like Brenda.
I'm already going to kill her, but now I'm doubly killing her.
Doubly killing her.
I don't know. I don't really understand what she said when she said that was fast. Did you?
No. Oh, like how she like started dating or how they started making out?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't know. I guess like, well, that was fast. She didn't like even think about me. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I guess I could accept that. Moving on.
So Parker is like really nasty to Paul because Paul wants him to cancel the party, like shut the party down because the killer is on the loose.
Yeah. And
Parker's like, we're not shutting the party down, Paul. Like, you're a douchebag. So somehow Parker gets a phone call and he's like, let me guess what urban legend this is. The call is coming from inside the house. And they're like, no, this is the one. Oh, they're like, you're going to die tonight. And he's like, did you ever hear about the one where the old lady drives her dog in the microwave? And he's like, what? So then he runs and finds his dog all like dead in the microwave.
And yeah, that was gross.
So then the killer like knocks him out and we find him tied up to the toilet and he's got a big funnel in his mouth and they dump Pop Rocks in his mouth. And then like Drano, and he dies that way. I mean, the Drano killed him, obviously, but
like, Drano would have killed him without the Pop Rocks, but I guess they wanted a little extra like pizzazz. They wanted a little extra drama, so they added the Pop Rocks for some effect.
Pizzazz. That was funny.
She wanted some extra pizzazz, some drama. So she added the Pop Rocks for some extra special effects. I don't know. Jesus. I wasn't sad about him dying either. I was like,
I wasn't either.
World of Short, one last douchebag.
I was never a big fan of Michael Rosenbaum as an actor either. He was in Cursed too for like a minute, but he played Lex Luthor on Smallville. He was the bald guy. Do you remember Smallville?
Yeah, and I know who Lex Luthor is. I just don't remember the actor that much.
Yeah, he's just not like, I don't know. He just never did it for me. But, I don't know, Tom Welling did.
Oh, yeah, everybody had a crush on Tom Welling. He's still fine. He aged very well.
He's so hot now. Still hot.
That silver fox going on.
Oh, my God, stop, Jamie. So, before Parker dies, Sasha, aka Tara Reid, she's like, I'm going back to the radio station. So she goes to the radio station and she's trying to give like love advice because she has a love show. Oh, one of the funniest things she said was like, besides like some of the shit she says to these dumb callers, she's like, they're talking about Michelle dying in the car, and she's like, somebody told me that the last thing she listened to was my radio show, was my show. I was the last voice she probably heard. I was like, how the fuck did they know that?
Yeah,
who? Brenda told everybody because she was in the car.
Oh yeah, true. That makes sense, like, she was listening to the radio show, and then she turned it off and put on music. She put in like a cassette tape or whatever.
She put on Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
So I guess Brenda was the one who told everybody.
It had to have been Brenda. Nobody else was there.
Did you know the last thing Michelle listened to was to Sasha's radio show?
and then it was Total Eclipse of the Heart. But don't quote me on that. I don't know. I wasn't there. Whatever, bitch. You in the back seat.
Don't quote me on that. I only heard from a friend of a friend of a friend.
You know, who was part of a turtle club on the side of the road.
Turtle club? What?
I don't know, dude. Turtles are on the side of the road. Maybe they witnessed something. Oh, Ninja Turtles, okay? And the Ninja Turtles were there.
Anyway, so Sasha is at the radio station.
That's weird for you. Sasha's at the radio station.
This is her, like, death scene. So, like, Brenda, or, well, the killer, she, like, smashes the glass to get into the station, and she's, like, running away. And somehow, Sasha's in these, like, high heels or something, and she's trying to run away, and she, like, climbs over the side of the stairwell, and she's, like, hanging on to a corner with her hands, and she's just dangling there. And the killer, like, slams down the axe, and she falls, and she lands on, like, those glass. It's supposed to be like, did you ever see those like showers from like the 80s, and it just looks like glass, but it's not glass. It's like tile, but it's glass. It looks like almost see-through. I don't know what they're called, but that's the kind of floor that she lands on. I always thought she's going to break through it, but she hurts her leg.
She landed on the steps landing below her. Cause it was the steps kind of like did this like not spiral, but like it was like down and there was like a landing and then it would turn and then down. I thought she just landed on the steps that were below her, the landing. But oh, I mean, I don't, it doesn't matter, but I know what you're talking about. They are type, it's a type of tile. It's like a glass tile, but it's thick and, yeah, and reinforced. I know what you mean. I don't know, but she's still running. She gives this person a little bit of a chase though. She definitely does. But I would think that she would have known the school layout of this building a little bit better than to trap herself in a room with no exit. Listen, I don't know what I would do if I was being chased by a murderer.
Trap but I would herself. Hope
that I would not trap myself into a room with no exit.
Oh, she's done.
And not try to bar the door behind me if I do end up in a room that I can't get out of.
Oh my god. Wait, the other thing too is like she's on the radio. Like, so they know where she's at.
Screaming. Yeah. And then they think it's a joke. Like, she should have, like, if she knew she was still alive and she hit some sort of spot where she was like, she was able to speak and not just keep screaming, just be like, guys, somebody's in here with me and they killed so and so and I need you to get here now. 911, please, whoever you're listening, you know, like, say something. You have people, you have an audience listening to you. And right now, they just think that you're just fucking around. Even though that one dude was like, whoo, she just gave me the chills.
Well, because he heard earlier in the party, he's playing something where it's real live 911.
DJ was playing something where they had live 911 coming through. But they at that point, they switched off that. They weren't listening to that anymore. They put on her. She's on the radio. They switched the radio over from whatever they were playing. The DJ was, you know, wiki over to this radio station. So they know that they were listening to her live. They're like, oh, she's just fucking around. Like, dude, nobody screams like that and they're just fucking around.
Well, she trapped herself.
She trapped herself in a room without trying to bar it closed. Instead, she just kind of hunkered down in a corner and gave up.
Yep. She gets axed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they never show her dead body. They only show, like, her hand, which was always creepy to me, but...
Because she was probably protecting her face.
Yeah. Yeah, she just sort of like gets and Natalie is the one who hears everything, and she's like running in the rain. She's like,
yeah, and then she comes. Like, I don't know how she ended up in the pool. How did she know to go to the pool? I don't know, but she ends up at the pool area, looking up in the room where she already kind of broke the tempered glass, and you know she just sees her friend get axed, and then you know Brenda's all like,
oh yeah,
waving her hand and shit, and I'm just like,
yeah, she does do that. And she watches her get killed. She just can't do anything. She watches her friend die. Poor Sasha. Who's going to run the radio station now?
who's gonna have the sex problem? But you know who? We gotta give a call to Jen. Jen Lindley.
I know.
She'll... another blonde. We'll just get that.
She's got. She can do it.
We'll call Jen Lindley over. She can leave Boston transfer to, you know, Murder College 101.
To go to Pendleton University.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the East Coast, so maybe it's not that far. Who knows?
So Natalie, like, runs, like, leaves the station, and she somehow finds Brenda and Paul. Well, no, she finds Paul first, and she thinks he's the killer because she goes to his dorm, and he's all soaking wet from being out in the rain. And she tells him that Sasha's dead, and they go into his dorm, and he's acting weird. Like, his hands are, like, shaking because he can't open the door. And
scared.
The phone line's not working. Like the phone.
Fear and adrenaline will do that to you.
Yeah, it'll help you carry a 200-pound man if you're a petite young woman.
Oh my god.
She goes and picks up the phone because she thinks he's like being shady for whatever reason. So she picks
up the phone. She's suspicious of everybody because she was just running and just saw this happen, and then he just kind of appears out of nowhere.
Yeah. He was a good red herring because I really did think he was the killer when I first saw it. I didn't realize it was.
Me too, because to be fair, I would have thought a man would have been doing all the heavy lifting, first of all. Like, it would have been believable if there was two of them, if it was her and him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would have been believable to me. And then also at the end of the movie, when he comes in and kind of like gets involved or whatever, and he's kind of going along with it so he can try to get a hold of the gun for like a split second. If you're not familiar with the movie, you're probably like, oh, they're in it together. Because he's trying to go along with her. He plays the part well. Like he really does, like his facial features. Like, he's not blinking. He's looking her dead in the eye. And he's like, yeah, I mean, we could do it this way. I need my story though. I got questions, you know?
Yeah.
But I need you to give me the gun. I'm like, ah. Oh,
I know, you lost.
You shouldn't have said that, dude. You had to play it out a little bit longer. But anyways.
So she's like, where were you? And he's like, we got to get off campus. I was trying to find the dean, but nobody's around, and Reese, and I can't find Reese. And he's like, you don't believe me. So they get in the car together, and Brenda appears.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the car together, and then they stop at like a gas station because he needs to use the phone. And Brenda and Natalie start smelling something off in the car. So then they go out and they open up the trunk, and we find out that it's Wexler's dead body, aka Robert England.
Yes.
And they look up. Oh, in the car too, they have this like heart to heart. She's like, you can have him, Natalie. You guys would make a better couple than me and Paul anyway. And Natalie like smiles and they hug. I was like, that's not what I'm worried about right now. That's not what I care about.
I know. I think it's just because they were making peace, and that was cool. It was probably a little bit of a relief because they were fighting, even though all this stuff is going on right now. I don't know. It was weird, but I guess they just wanted to give you, they wanted to give the audience a little bit of a levity, like a little break.
Yeah, that's true.
And then before shit really hits the fan, right? It's the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
So we had like a 2-minute calm before the storm.
I know. It's really quick in for this. So they look up and they see Paul from the window of the store, like looking in the store, and he just looks at them like, what are they doing? And yeah, Brenda's like I said, Natalie, he's all yours.
So what happened between them having this heart-to-heart, they decide that the smell is really overwhelming, and they get out and decide to investigate the vehicle. They go around to the back of the car, they open the trunk, and here's a dead body. And then that's where the whole, they look at him, and he's like, why are you guys out of the car? What are you doing? And then they look, and like I said, he's all yours, and then they take off.
Yeah, they're like running into the woods, and he's chasing them, and we hear Brenda screaming in the background. And Paul's calling after Natalie, and Natalie gets on the road, and she gets a ride with the janitor. Mm-hmm. And she thinks he's being weird, and then he dies somehow.
I'm trying to remember, right? So they're in the vehicle, and he's like, you look cold, here's a jacket. And the jacket's the same type of parka that the killer has. Again, we see this coat, and she's like, all right, you can let me out here. And he's like, well, coat's not going to bite you, you know?
Oh, no. That what happens is he flashes a car without their lights on.
Oh, yeah. And it's her.
And that car starts chasing him. Where'd she get the car?
I don't know, dude. It's like an SUV or something. Like, she had that shit in the woods. She's got vehicles everywhere. I don't know where she's getting vehicles from. Like, I don't know where she's getting these vehicles from.
It's so funny.
She's just pulling shit out of her like ass left and right. I knew I was gonna need this on this side of the street, probably around this area. So I'm gonna hide a vehicle here, and like I'm gonna hide this here, and then I'm gonna like how many of these outfits does she got, and where does she got this shit hiding? You know what I mean?
She really did think this through.
Yeah, this is like amazingly planned. She knew exactly how everybody was gonna react and where they were gonna go before they even knew. Fucking impressed. Color me surprised.
Oh my god. So Natalie ends up back at Stanley Hall. She hears like screaming inside Stanley Hall, and there's like, she hears Brenda screaming. So like you see like a light on too, and the one boarded up window.
I mean, they're all boarded, but there's like this one window in the top left-hand corner that's not as boarded.
Yeah.
With
and
all these
Brenda's screaming from inside.
Right.
So she goes inside and she finds
all the bodies.
she finds Brenda laying on a bed, and she thinks Brenda's dead. So she's like sitting on the bed, on the edge of the bed, with her back facing Brenda. And we see Brenda slowly like sit up, and then she punches Natalie in the face and knocks her out. So we're like, Brenda's
before,
the killer.
Before she gets there, so this girl is wandering around Stanley Hall that's been boarded up for a quarter century, so 25 years. And that's when she stumbles across all the bodies. She, you know what I mean? She stumbles across them like in random places all throughout the whole place. So she's already freaked out.
I don't remember that. I have to rewatch that part.
Yeah, they're all over the place. She stumbles across all the bodies because at one point she opens the door and it was Joshua Jackson character hanging. He's hanging there. Oh. There's another one where somebody else's body is in like a tub or something, and then something else. I don't know. They're positioned throughout Stanley Hall.
Mm.
And she finally gets upstairs. And that's when we have the scene that you just described. Yeah, so she finds her in that room and gets knocked out.
She gets knocked out, and then she wakes up and she's tied to the bed by Brenda. Mm-hmm. And Brenda tries to do a kidney removal on her, because that's another urban legend.
Yeah.
And she like slices into her stomach, and she's like totally fine. So she explains to Natalie that the guy that Natalie and Michelle killed by accident was her boyfriend. And she's like fucking insane now.
She plays crazy really well. She does. She's got the crazy eyes. Her hair is like nuts. I mean, she's got beautiful, like thick, curly hair, but her hair at this point is just like burrowed out around her face, and it's just sticking up. And like, and she's got the eyes, and her eyes are like these really pretty blue eyes. But when she looks at you, it's like, I'm crazy. Yeah. Like, her eyes are huge, like they're about to pop out of her skull. She's psycho. Really? Really? You don't know why I'm doing this? Well, let me tell you, Natalie. Like, she just plays crazy so well. Like, she should have gotten an Oscar for this damn movie. Psychopath. Good job.
Yeah, she did a really good job as the killer.
Yeah.
Like, this performance is hysterical. I feel like so many people love this movie now because of Rebecca Gayhart's performance as Brenda at the end, because it's so over the top and campy, and
it is.
She just does such a great job with it. I feel like it's, you know, perfect.
We appreciate you. You did a great job.
Yeah. That, so as she's trying to steal her kidney, that's when Reese does come in, and she gets Brenda away somehow, and then she gets Natalie off the bed, but Reese gets stabbed and shot by Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda had a knife hiding up her. So like, Brenda comes in, she's holding the, you know, gun point. So like, Brenda has to take a step back, right? So Reese has got her gun point. Brenda takes a step back and she unties one of the things so that Natalie can untie herself from the bed. And then she basically has Brenda walk up to the window so she can pat her down before she, like, you know, puts her into custody or whatever. And she pops up with this knife. And she just, like, turns and slashes at her. And then there's this grapple for the gun. Natalie's still trying to untie herself from the bed. And then Brenda ends up with the gun.
No. That's after Paul comes in. So Brenda gets Reese down on the ground. Like, Reese is...
Yeah, she gets her down. They're grappling for the gun. And I think she thinks that she knocked Reese out or something. But she gets a hold of the gun. Or she shoot her? She shoots her.
Brenda tells Natalie that she's pointing the gun at Natalie while Reese is knocked out.
Does she knock her out or does she shoot her? I don't remember. Does she shoot Brenda? No, she Reese. Does. I'm getting the names confused.
Reese,
no, I'm sorry. I know. Reese to me is a male name, so I'm having a really hard time giving this name to this character. So I couldn't remember if she shot Reese or knocked her out, but either way, Brenda ends up with the gun and she's pointing it at Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and this is when Paul walks in.
Yeah, so Brenda's telling Natalie, or Natalie is telling Brenda, like, this isn't going to change anything. And right. That's when Paul comes in and he pretends that he's on Brenda's side, because Brenda's like,
yeah, he starts clapping. He's like, I couldn't do this better myself.
Yeah.
Good job. This is great. You're brilliant.
Because Brenda's like,
questions that only you can answer, though.
I know, so give me the gun. She's like, will you make a pretty hot fucking couple, he's just like, yeah, let's do it. Give me the gun, Brenda. And then she's like, I'm not stupid, Paul. And then she tries to shoot. No, they fight. That's when they fight. And then Natalie gets the gun. And she's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me, Natalie. And
well, Brenda or Reese does something. She shoots her from afar. Yeah, no, they fight. Reese, you're right. They fight her. Over it somehow. I don't remember exactly because it all happens very quickly.
It does. But Natalie or Brenda sort of like tries to attack Natalie again, I think. And then Natalie just shoots her and she falls out the window.
Yeah.
So she gets shot and she falls out the window. So then we're left in, with Paul and Natalie in the car driving.
I think Reese shoots her. Reese comes up with another gun. And then she passes out. I think Reese got shot when Brenda and Reese were scuffling for that gun. I think Brenda got it and shot the cop. She shot Reese. So she turned her back on Reese thinking she was down for the count. And while she was having this interaction with Natalie and Paul, before she could do something, Reese pulled out another gun and shot her. And then we see her pass out. Yeah. She passes out. And then the gunshot, I think, is what causes her to go flying out the window.
Reese shoots Brenda and then gets knocked out again. So as she gets shot, she drops the gun. Brenda drops the gun. And that's when Natalie picks it up. And then she shoots Brenda again. And she falls out the window.
That's what it is. She gets shot twice. It was something like that. It does happen kind of quickly. So it's hard to
recall. Twice and falls out of like a 5-story building. And she's totally.
It's at least 3 stories, at least 3 or 4 stories. And she still is alive. They put her in the back of a vehicle and it's just those two driving with this killer in the back seat, not tied up or anything. And then she comes out and tries to kill them again.
Wait a minute. She was in the back seat with them?
She was in the back vehicle. Oh, I don't know if they put her or she hid in there.
She was hiding.
Hiding in the whatever she was in the back of that vehicle. So they had to fight for her again. And then they ended up crashing on a bridge and she goes flying out the window and into like the river below. And then they never find her body. And it's basically like the end of the movie.
Wait, the other thing I thought was funny was when Paul and Natalie were driving for help. And Natalie's like, do you think Reese will be okay? I was like, wait, they just left her there by herself, like to die?
Where is everybody on this campus? I guess it was a holiday weekend or something, right? People were going home. She's like, maybe I'll just go home. Yeah, because at one point, Natalie's like, maybe I'll just go home. And Brenda's like, no, stay here. Have fun. Let's go to this party. Let's do this. Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't you leave.
I don't remember.
So I think that was maybe it was a holiday weekend or something. Or they turned it into a holiday weekend because it was the 25th anniversary of this like freaking massacre.
I think that's what they did. Yeah.
The school's like, yeah, we're not going to be here for this. Go home. We're making our own holiday. School's out for the next 4 days. Leave.
The other thing that made me laugh was that Paul and Natalie were like, people are going to hear this story and we're going to be the urban legend. I'll be in a mental asylum and you'll be the brother or something. Brenda will be a guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Brenda will be a cop or the guy. You'll be the cop or firefighter or some shit. And I don't know. It just made me laugh. I'm like, I mean, yeah, probably. They'll definitely twist out who you were.
Yeah. And then that's when Brenda attacks them again. And then she flies through the window into the water and they're left looking at her as she's like floating on her back doing dead man's float.
Well, she wasn't face down. She should have been face down. That would have been more believable.
I know.
She's still alive.
So they sort of just like fade off, right? Now we're in another coffee house with a bunch of new students and they're all talking about the Pendleton urban legend thing. And, they're the most awkward looking students I've ever seen. Like these people look so, they don't look like they'd be friends with each other at all.
I was a little bit confused by their choice in clothing style. I'm like,
yeah,
what decade are we in? Do we go back in time? But then we see Brenda and I'm like, no, we didn't go back. We didn't go back in time. So I mean, I guess we just were in. So we had the preppy kids and now we've got like the grunge over here. This is what's happening, I guess. I don't know. The freaks and geeks. This is what happened. But I just, okay.
Yeah, I was like, what year is this? It's Brenda now. Yeah, like...
I was confused. I was confused by because of the clothes they were wearing. And I mean, I understand that it was 98. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. So they're like talking about this whole thing, and they don't believe it. And then this woman just like pops up, the camera like pans over, and we see that it's Brenda, but she's got like straight hair now. She's wearing glasses, and And she's like, she's like, I've heard the story or something, but this is how it really goes. And then we cut to the credits because she does like a little smile. Then we cut to the credits, and that's the end of the movie. I feel like this movie is so fun, and
it is fun. It is fun.
It's such a good, it's such a good like time waster. I really enjoy just like the premise of it. Like, I love urban legends. I like that people believe in all that stuff. Like, I believe in all, like when I was a kid, I did Bloody Mary all the time, thinking like she was going to show up, but she never does. But it's fun to think that it might happen.
Yeah, like using a Ouija board.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a fun movie for this time of the year, and I always just enjoy Joshua Jackson's character in it, and the entire cast is just fun to watch, and Robert Englund's in it for like a bit part, which is great. But yeah, I just thought it'd be fun to recap this movie for our Halloween episode. I wish that I was able to pay attention a little bit more considering, but it was such, our schedule was just so weird this week with everything.
Yeah, we had a lot.
So I hope everybody liked the episode.
me highly confused and Steven going, okay, Jamie. But I hope you had some giggles out of it. I mean, we definitely did.
Wait, I have 100 questions about how this young woman would be able to murder grown-ass men and drag them on top of a car and tie them to a tree. I need to know.
She's extra strong, dude. Extra strong. She sold her soul to the devil and gave her, you know, vampire slayer strength.
You have valid points, I'm not gonna lie. But my favorite was Sasha trapping herself.
To die.
What? Sasha trapping herself.
I know, dude. Like, if you're aware of the layout of this building, why did you just trap yourself into a room with no exit?
That was funny.
Girl just rolled over and was like, I'm done. I can't run any more medical.
I know. I give up. What was your favorite death?
They were all really good. I feel like what one were we talking about where I was like, oh yeah, that was really good. Who was that?
I'm trying to
remember all the deaths.
The roommate where she dies while
really
sleeping. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I think that was probably the creepiest because it was happening while she was in the room and she had no idea. That was the scariest. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like somebody's worst fear. Is somebody getting raped or murdered while somebody's in the room and they don't even know? You know what I mean? Because I mean, can you imagine how responsible you would feel for that when you wake up the next day and you realize this happened?
I think
there was an episode that was very similar to that that happens in Veronica Mars when she's in college. She like walks into her friend's dorm or something, but like the lights are off and she thought that she was with her boyfriend or whatever, and here she was actually getting raped. That's like the worst thing. Could you imagine how terrible one would feel and the responsibility you would feel realizing that you could have prevented it or intervened or stopped it, but you didn't because you didn't know?
Yeah, that's
terrible.
I listened to this podcast one day. I don't even remember what it was called, but there was a guy telling this creepy story, and he said he was in his room and he had like his blanket covering himself while he was sleeping. He had like his back to the door or something. He heard somebody come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking around like his bed, and he didn't get up to like acknowledge. He just thought it was his roommate. And the next day he was like asking his roommate, he was like, why were you like walking around my bed last night? And he goes, I wasn't even home last night. And he goes, no, you were in the room last night with me. And he goes, that wasn't me. And he goes, somebody literally came in my room last night and walked out. Like, I don't know if it was meant to be like a ghost story, but the way I listened to it, the way the guy explained it, somebody literally came in his room, knew he was sleeping, like took something and then left, and he had he has no idea who it was. That's fucking creepy. Like, that's weird. Yeah. To think somebody was in your room while you were asleep and you had no idea, or like you knew but like you didn't know who it was. Well, I thought it was a fun movie. Glad that we got to do it this year for Halloween, and I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did.
Me too.
or I did.
I enjoyed it, but I also was just very confused. That's all.
Well, the more you were explaining it, I was like, please, I don't want to agree with her.
Was I ruining it for you too?
A little bit, yeah. I was like, I don't think about this shit.
Jamie's logic. I can't dispute it.
You're such a goddamn overthinker.
My bad. I just think about things. And I can't help it. It just right then and there, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. The logistics, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how is that possible? How is this possible? It's not, it's a movie, and I understand that it's a movie. Yeah,
it's just a horror movie. A fun horror movie for Halloween. A
fun horror movie, yeah.
All right, well, Jamie, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Of course, you can find me on Instagram at jlyn_booklover.
Beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
And if you want to find us, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Creek Talk Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. You can also join our Facebook group and engage with us over there. We would love for you to join. And if you want to send us an email or any type of feedback, you can send that to creektalkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll read it on our next episode. And if you're feeling generous, you could always give us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. That helps us out tremendously. So please go over and do that. It's completely free. And if you're feeling super duper generous, you can join our Patreon at our $5 tier, where we are currently recapping the Kevin Williamson series Glory Days, and you'll get early access to our weekly episodes. Just go to our link tree in any of our profiles and you'll find everything listed over there. But for now, we hope everybody has a great Halloween if you celebrate it, and stay spooky for the rest of the month, and
check your candy.
Don't watch horror movies with Jamie because she'll get too logical about it. It's not worth it.
Thanks.
We'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye.
Stay spooky.